to retire because you just make me look bad. So thank you. That was a blessing. Thank you all that's helped us in our month and a half long move. Okay. Helped us, and those that didn't help, you're on my list. No, anyway, that's no list. I really appreciate it. Some of you, when you hear that we're moving, you think we're moving. We just moved family one in another, and that's death of cuts because you're taking 50 million moves. So thank you all for the help. It's kind of depressing. My whole family is moving this month. Heather, Silas, and I moved. Then Justice is moving from an apartment to a house this weekend. And then I'm flying out. Heather's already there. I'm flying out this evening to, I know my son's going to be antsy and the truck's packed. I'd like to sleep, but I have a feeling I'm going to land and he's going to get in the truck and we're going to go. But either way, we'll be back. So it is, but thank you all for all your help and prayers. And I'll be back before next Sunday. So I also want to mention, most of us know, but the offering plates are at both entrances. If you have an offering that you were going to give or whatever, you can put them there. We kind of do that because of the COVID issue. So we're continuing this series called Real Faith. And again, I appreciate Julie because I know some of you, when you don't have your points and you're not used to looking at a physical Bible, I personally don't care if you don't get it, somebody give it to you. But I'm thankful for Julie that I called her. The sermon was almost done, but I called her at 4 and said, well, you're going to get this sometime. If you don't, we'll just hair lip the governor. So anyway, we'll get that because you're old enough. But it cracked me up. Sometimes you got to realize if this technology goes down, you still got a Bible and you still got your ears and you can listen. So anyway, so thank you, Julie. I appreciate it. So doing a series on with the key verse, you're going to end up in Judges, so we'll get there in a minute. And yes, they got the verses. So, question I have for you: living the way of faith, are you living a faith? Some are just surviving instead of thriving. Are you living a real faith? And then the key question I have for you: how real is your faith? See, a lot of people like Jesus; they like what he does and everything. But when push comes to shove, it's like I got to fix this. I got to do this, or are you going to lean into Jesus? That's real faith in life. And we've been talking about, are you going to conquer? Is something conquering you? Is something having mastery over you? Do you have obstacles or oppositions in your life? Or your faith in Christ, are you overcome? And we struggle to focus, we struggle to overcome, we struggle to conquer, and in this ever-changing world, the things that we're having to deal with and the issues we're having to deal with, how do I have real faith and hold to Christ in unstable times? Guess what? Read the Bible. Unstable times. Yes, it's weird. It is totally weird. But it was weird back then, too. And some of this stuff's just being recycled. And the core of man's sinfulness is the same. You can choose to either have a faith going to heaven, and it doesn't help them out. I believe in God when things are going well, or a real faith, regardless, that you're leaning into Jesus. Your action by real faith in Christ, and your points will spell out the word real, not like fishing reel. I can't even think about fishing. My Wyoming license is still good, but he's going to want to get in that truck, but there is a river right at the house. If he doesn't have the rod packed. Anyway, sorry. Okay, he's going to want to go. So anyway, now I got to get back to here. All right, so last few weeks we've been talking about, you know, Hebrews 32, and we look at that. And what more can I say? Time is too short for me to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Japheth, David, Samuel, and the prophets. And today we're going to talk about Japheth. And remember what I told you, this is not in the chronological order. It is from the weakest to the strongest. And it doesn't matter if they're weak or they're strong. You still need to walk the way of faith. And so we're going to talk about Japheth. And I know a lot of you, that's your middle name or your parents wanted to name you that, you know, or whatever. Jeff, which, okay, all right, we won't go there. But so we talked about Gideon. We talked about Barak. We talked about Samson. Spiritually dark. the humility so that what you're doing, I don't like what you're long up. I think it's Randy Travis, three crosses on the roadside. But what kind of faith do you have? Is it real? Is it legit? The word legit, let's think about that for a minute. Legitimate is a faith that gives you full rights. It's your spiritual birth. It's a faith in Christ. And it's that faith that is Hebrews 4:16 that you can go boldly before the throne of grace. I want you to understand something. If you've received Christ, you have been in, and you are joint heir with Christ. And as we know in a lot of legal things, a adopted child has kind of more rights than a child that's born in the family. If they've been born in the family, you just tell your kids, yeah, you don't got any rights. You know, I own you. No, I'm just teasing. But you know what I'm saying. But when we're born, our joint heirs, and we can go boldly for the throne of grace because our faith in what Christ has done, God does not see our sin. We are made right, justified. Sin has made us illegitimate. When we don't receive Christ, see, this is about me, and it's a theological lie out of the pit of hell. Everyone is not a child of God. Not at all. Think about it. What makes somebody a child of God? Again, into the kingdom. Enter the kingdom. Right, goes to heaven, then Jesus is a liar in John 14:6. You become a into the family of God. But everyone else is not junk. We need to honor them. We need to love them. We need to tell them they can be adopted. They have a soul that Christ died for if they choose. But so we see this. You can't have real faith without being legitimate and really a Christian. And in this really rough world, the lost world needs to see real Christians. I'm glad everybody's here. I'm glad that we're worshiping. But it goes beyond this biblical thing that we're doing here, that we've got to be a real Christian in all the tight places in life. Now it brings us to the background set of scriptures in Judges 10. So we're going to stay in Judges for a while because, you know, we're dealing with, this all comes out of Judges verses 6 through 10. And again, over the word, so if I skip y'all. Okay, 6. Then the Israelites again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. They worshiped the Baals, the Asherahs, the gods of Aram, Sidon, and Moab, and the gods of the Amorites and the Philistines. And they abandoned the Lord and did not worship him. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel, and he sold them to the Philistines and the Amorites, and they shattered and crushed the Israelites that year. For 18 years they did the same to all the Israelites who were on the other side of the Jordan in the land of the Amorites and Gilead. The Amorites also crossed the Jordan to fight against Judah, Benjamin, and the house of Ephraim. Israel was greatly oppressed. So they cried out to the Lord, saying, "We have sinned against you. We have abandoned our God and worshipped our Baals." Same song, second verse, third verse, fourth verse, because every week, here's what happens. And I said Israel in the cycle of sin. Oh God, I'm going to go with you when it gets rough, or I want to do my own thing. I'm going to go this way, and God will turn you over to your sin. So they did evil in sight, so it was shameless. They did it in front of God. They didn't care. They left God. God doesn't leave us. They stopped worshiping him. And then God was angered. And he was right to be angry. And the result was their destruction, and they were crushed, and they were surrounded, and they were controlled. And then guess what happens? They cry out for help. Now, what's interesting about this section is there's going to be in the past few weeks. But your first fill-in, walking the way of faith, means real faith in Christ. John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. You can have faith in a person and they'll fail you. You can have faith in a product and it'll fail you. Faith in Christ. And his response, look at Judges 10. Expect is God to be okay. I'm coming to help you. Very interesting, guys. Verse 11, the Lord said to the Israelites, when the Egyptians are the Philistines and the Sids and the Ams and the Maos with the mustard oppressed you, and you cried out to me. I can tell some of you are listening. Did I not deliver you from them? Verse 13. There's a point where he's coming over. And you're going to have to deal. You're going to have to sit in your stuff. Now, and it's hard, but tough is a good say, going to these gods, so have them help you. And they're not real. They cried out, they've cried whoop before. He talked. You abandoned. So 14 says, go have faith in those false gods. And think about today. My money, my health, my family, my job, my spouse or relationship, they're going to be my all in all. Good luck with that. All those can be good, but we're all going to fail each other, and we all got to use grace and go on. But whenever you put somebody or something before God, that is a false god. That is idolatry. Your next fill-in. Choice. Everything we're doing, this is just a big show for God. That's a sick. Now, the choices we're going to make, he works with these sovereign, he works with those choices. We don't know the choices people are making. Choices. And so look at the people's response in verses 15 and 16. But the Israelites said, we've sinned. Deal with us as you see fit. Only rescue us today. Explanation point 16. So they got rid of the foreign gods among them and worshiped the Lord, and he became weary of Israel's misery. See, here's another thing. If you dealt with people with addiction or people that are chronic on stuff, which we all have things in our you had family or friends, and you hear the same story, and it sounds great because you're tied to them. And guys, I'm not making light of it. It's hard. It's ripped families apart. It's just a horrible thing. It's not just addiction. It can be anything. Oh, they're going to change this time. And I believe God can change people? Yes, but it takes the Holy Spirit, and it takes radical change. It's called repenting. Change that's come not addiction now is something they can build their whole life. They had point, who cares what you're saying? Let me see what you're doing. And so notice what Israel's doing. They yelled, save me. false idols. Let's start figuring out what God wants. And I love this. He became weary of Israel's misery. They realized and they confessed their sins and they accepted their punishment. And that word weary was God was grieved. It wasn't the fact that he was sorry. He loved them and he saw that they were ready. And see, that's what I want you to understand. Until you're ready, God doesn't have to do anything. It's all up to you on whether you're going to. I'm talking about the thing. And different things like that. But the only thing that's ever saved me is having accountability in my life. And we have to have that. So let's look at the problem here in verses 17 and 18. Camped in Gilead, so the Israelites assembled and camped at Mez. And the rulers of Gilead said to one another, which man will begin to fight against the Amorites? He will be the leader of all the inhabitants of Gibeon. So they're like, hey, we're going to do this. Notice God hasn't stopped. He's an outcast, he's disinherited, his mom's a prostitute. Now, their dad, the family, their dad had gone to the prostitute, and this is his illegitimate son. So, you know, God's not helping him out, so they're at the bottom of the barrel. Nothing wrong with that. I mean, it wasn't his fault. But anyway, it doesn't matter how you got here. It matters the choice you make whether you follow God. So he's on the run. So I want you to think, this is the family. This is the son. These are the friends you want. You go to verse 4. Now you say, well, what does that mean, worthless? That means empty, and that means ethically off. So you got some really hard people. You've been kicked out, and your best friends are worthless. Okay? So in verse 5, there's war, the elders, which are the wise. In verse 6, they go and ask the Lord, and then they go to Japheth. They say, we want you to be our leader. They're at the bottom of the barrel because nobody else wants to do it, right? And Japheth, he's like, why? You know? And they admitted that they needed him to come and fight. And then that brings us to verse 9, chapter 11. So Japheth said to them, if you're bringing me back to fight the Amorites and the Lord gives them to me, I will be your leader. If you're calling me, gives them to me, I will be your leader. Awesome. No matter what our, we're going to have real faith and follow God. So it didn't matter his background. Here, all of Israel and the proper church people weren't following God. And you got the outcast that's saying, if I'll do it. You go to verse 10, he swore to the Lord. And it's kind of interesting. He valued God, and he also swore to the Lord their contract, so that held them. And then he went out to become their leader in verse 11, and he swore to the Lord. And then verse 12, he notice how he does. And the other. We won't get into that. I think they've all gone on to be with the Lord, hopefully. Okay? But notice what he does in verses 12, 13, and 14, and 19. I'm just summarizing these. He goes and talks to him and says, you know, hey, we're trying to find a solution here, safe passage to go through here. How about we do that? This is the problem. Some of you guys are a hammer person. Well, let's just force it through. Yeah, how's that worked for you in life or in plumbing? Hasn't worked really well for me in either. But notice his wisdom there. Why don't I talk to him and say, hey, let's work this out. Then you get 11 and 22. But Sihon would not trust Israel to pass through the territory at Jahaz and fought with Israel. Oh, I love 21. Then the Lord God of Israel handed over Sihon and all the troops to Israel, and they defeated them. So Israel took possession of the entire land of the Amorites who lived in the country. 22, they took possession of all the territory of the Amorites and Arnon and to Jabbok and from the wilderness of Jordan. Again, and so there was God's victory. He gave them the chance to pull out, but God showed up and gave them the victory. And again, Jabbok tried. Tried again a potential solution for them to do the right thing. You see in Judges 11, verses 27 and 28, I have not sinned against you. He's talking to the enemy. I have not sinned against you, but you're doing me wrong by fighting against me. Let the Lord, who is the judge, decide today between the Israelites and the Amorites. The king of the Amorites would not listen to Japheth's message that he sent. Wow, what humility for an outcast. That he said, look, I haven't sinned against you, and he has. Christianity, we go from, it's my way or the highway. And I can't be wrong. Abbreviate it, but a humble man listens. And what I've learned is there's a lot of people that try to tell me stuff and how to do stuff. I mean, I know it's hard to believe, but in a pastorate, that happens, okay? And what I try to do is find the truth and apply it, and then if it's junk, throw out the rest. But that's Proverbs, and that's not just for the pastor, that's for all of you. And let's work this out. And clear account. And then he gives it to the Lord, and they wouldn't listen. And look at verse 29. Spirit of the Lord. Power to do what pleases him. We all want to do what those that know Christ and those built the Holy Spirit. He's going to give you the power to do it. He's going to give you the desire. Because then you go to Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then you go to what he told us, the church, the people of God, in Acts 1:8. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and the outer parts of the world. Guys, don't try to do anything without the power of the Holy Spirit. The result of real faith. 3. Japheth crossed over to the Amorites to fight against them, and the Lord handed them over to him. A verse that has guided whether or not through the years is Exodus 14. And the Lord will fight for you. Spoiler alert, every time I've leaned into God in real situations, He's shown up and done a way better job than me. It's like, God, I don't know how we're going to do this. bam, and he takes it. And so that's what happened there. Japheth had people, but the lesson of real faith doesn't end there. It's bittersweet. This is a real theological issue that we're dealing with, and it's the one verse that I left out when I was going through my verses. Okay, so Japheth, and you can a dog, I might question. What about a human? And that doesn't go with God. I'm giving you the summary because I forgot to put the verse in there. So here's what happened. Spoiler alert. His daughter was the first person to come out of the tent. It's hard to say what Japheth did. The thought that he did not offer his daughter as burnt offering is probably true. Such a sacrifice would have been an abomination to the Lord. It's supposed that she was obligated by step. So if you ask her dad, hey, give me a while so I can go and be. What believe usually, you know, think about this. Other than Jesus Christ and what he did with Abraham, we never see God tell us to sacrifice people. That we go against who he is. But the fact that she sacrificed her whole life not to have children, not to have a family, I can believe that a little bit more. Here's some lessons, real lessons about rash vows. Whenever we hear the word vows, we think of whatever that Pat Sajak show is, okay, I'll buy a vow. Those are very serious things that you need to be careful about. Here's some lessons when you make one rashly. Our vows to God should not be as a purchase of favor we desire, but to express gratitude to Him. This is what happens. People don't walk with God. They're away from God. They get in a bad place. And they make rash vows. God, if you'll do this, I'll do that. I'd rather us all keep our mouth shut, because making a vow to God is serious. I think I've made some that maybe I'm trying to get away with because they were stupid. But make rash vows to God. Another one. We need to be very well advised in making vows, lest we entangle ourselves. You need to think about it. Because a vow is, this is the way it is. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to do this. I'm going this direction. Three, when we have made a solemn vow to God, we must perform it, and if possible and lawful, though it may be difficult and grievous to us. Again, I don't believe he sacrificed his daughter because that goes against Christ, but I think she life to not have children, to not have a family. And then think about this part. We see this with Abraham and his son. Godly. Obediently and cheerfully submit to their parents in the Lord. You know what? Some of us had parents that aren't Christians. And if your parents, whether they're a Christian or not, tell you to do something ungodly, don't do it. But most of the time, whether they're a Christian or not, we never stop honoring our parents until they are gone. I mentioned before, I'm at my dad's house and the TV's up 20 million. I'm getting used to it. But I was turning the TV on and here I'm in my mid-40s and my mom's getting on to me, "You're not honoring your dad." And I felt like this tall because that 5-foot-nothing woman just crunched me. Okay. I'm a mom. But, you know, you never stop honoring your parents. And so it doesn't matter whether you're young or not. If it's not ungodly, do it. Now, parents, I'm going to tell you right now, also, you need to not be telling your kids to do stuff they shouldn't. I'm saying, like, well, I'm a parent, so you're just going to... So your next fill-in, having a real faith means limit your vows and take them seriously. A-E-I-O-U, okay? And sometimes, whatever. All right. So what are some questions I want for you? How real is your faith? Guys, we're just in really strange waters, and I'm going to call it out again. I am sorry. If the news is leading your life, then you're Chicken Little and the sky's falling. And yes, the sky is falling, but if you're not in the Word before you hit the news and hit your phone, you're creating your own stress. And yes, there's nothing wrong with the news, but you should and be very careful how you get the news and how you distribute it. We are in deep waters here and stuff we've never had to talk about and never had to deal with before. So maybe you did something and you're like, well, I'm just going to believe in God but not exercise my real faith and follow God. What's your faith in? Your health, your money, your job, your relationships? Christ. Same yesterday, today, and forever. Everybody will let you down, but Christ won't. What choices have you made that you might... that you know... you set in your stuff... Because guess what? Maybe you need to turn around and make a move towards God. We're saved by grace, not by works. But if you're yapping to God, talking to my... it's time to turn around and take a step. But what choices have you made that you need to make a different choice? And how are you trying to exercise that faith? Well, I'm going to do my best. I'm going to have enough strength. I'm going to do this. And then most of us, if we go long enough, the longer I am a Christian, the more I love God, the more I feel closer to Him, and the more, I was going to say my crap meter is like there and it's rubbing right now, okay? It's bone on bone, it's metal on metal, the stuff I want to deal with. But look what I just said, mine and I. Here's the deal. If I'm tired and at the end of my rope or I got all the energy, who cares? I need the Holy Spirit to live right and follow God. How are you trying to live faith out? To make a vow, say, God, I accept you, but the question I have for you, you need to come and lay down whatever you're doing. Real faith, because a dying world does not need to see fake Christians. They need to see real Christians applying faith in Christ in real situations. As we stand our faith in, as we stand our feet in faith, we need to. Lord, I just pray.